Hello, and welcome to our special Good Friday message. Today's message, Pastor Myron continues our Easter sermon series titled Passion Week. This Good Friday message is from Mark 15, verses 32 through 39.
Mark is the one gospel writer who tells us the time when Jesus died. According to Mark chapter 15 and verse 25, it was at 9 in the morning that our Lord Jesus was crucified. At noon, as our Lord hung on the cross, darkness enveloped the land. And then, about 3 in the afternoon, Mark tells us that the Lord Jesus breathed his last. For 6 hours, Christ Jesus hung on the cross. And during those 6 hours, what he did for us is this. He made it possible for our sins to be forgiven, for us to be set free and restored to relationship with God. This morning, then, I invite you to reflect with me on 7 verses from Mark chapter 15, 7 verses that speak 2 powerful truths to us on this Good Friday 2024. And the first is this: the Word of God reminds us of the seriousness of our sin. Listen to these words from Mark chapter 15. At noon, darkness came over the whole land until 3 in the afternoon. And at 3 in the afternoon, Jesus cried out in a loud voice, "Eloi, Eloi, lama sabachthani," which means, my God, why have you forsaken me?" When some of those standing there heard this, they said, "Listen, he's calling Elijah." Mark in those verses reminds us of 2 things that speak so poignantly to the seriousness of our sin. At noon, as Jesus hung on the cross on that Friday, biblical historians tell us it was likely April the 3rd, 33 AD. At noon, when the sun is at its highest point, darkness enveloped the land and the cross on which our Lord Jesus hung. This was not a solar eclipse. The crucifixion of Jesus took place during the Passover season, and that was the time of a full moon. And we know that a solar eclipse can only happen during the new moon phase. So what this was a supernatural darkness. The awfulness of the sin of humanity, your sin and mine, for which Jesus was hanging on the cross and paying the price, was so great, so dark, so deep, that it was as if Almighty God turned the sun down in that moment. It was as if Almighty God pulled a funeral drape over the landscape. It was as if creation itself recoiled at the depth of the sin of humanity and the price that was being paid by the perfect and sinless Son of God, such that the sun refused to shine. It was during those hours of darkness for our Lord Jesus on the cross that God the Father was sacrificing his perfect and holy Son for my sins and for yours. It was during those hours of darkness that the words of 2 Corinthians 5:21 came to pass. There the Word of God says, God made him who had no sin to be sin. In those hours of darkness, as Jesus hung on the cross, my sins, your sins, the sins of the whole world were thrust on the perfectly righteous and holy Son of God. And so dark was that moment that the landscape reflected the darkness of what was taking place. Friends, how deep is my sinfulness? How deep is our sinfulness? Such that the only remedy was for the King from all eternity, the righteous and holy King from all eternity. How deep is our sinfulness that the only remedy was for this King to give his life for us on the cross? It surely speaks to my heart and I trust to all of ours. How could we wantonly engage in something that put the Lord Jesus on the cross? So the seriousness of our sin is certainly reflected in the darkness that came over the land, a supernatural darkness for those 3 hours. It's also reflected in Jesus' cry of anguish. As our Lord Jesus hung on the cross, he cried out, my God, why have you forsaken me? There was a time, as our Lord was giving his life for us on the cross, that God the Father turned his back on his Son. Now, my father, Neil, is something of a perfectionist. If you were to go into his garage, you would see that there would be outlines on the wall for every tool. And nothing would be out of place. Nothing would be laying around. Everything would be in order. The floor would be clean. And if his vehicle were to drip one drop of oil, I guarantee you Neil would be on it. He's a bit of a perfectionist. Somehow that eluded his firstborn. That would be me. I think of that, and then I think of God the Father. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, who is so righteous, so blinding in his perfection, that he cannot countenance sin and evil. And that to the very extent that when our sins were thrust upon the Lord Jesus Christ, God the Father turned his back on the Son. Surely, this speaks to the depth of our sinfulness and our desperate need for a Savior. Mark tells us that in the darkness, when Jesus cried out in anguish, someone said, listen, he's calling Elijah. What a strange comment. For 3 solid years, Jesus had ministered in compassion, in mercy, in love to so many people. Yet, there were still many who didn't get it. The darkness of that afternoon was reflective of the darkness that had fallen over the hearts and minds of so many people, and they did not perceive who Jesus was and their desperate need of a Savior. My prayer in this day and in this weekend is that, Spirit of the living God, you would grant us the mercy of lifting the darkness so that we can see something of ourselves and our desperate need for a Savior. And the Lord Jesus is that glorious Savior. So in the verses then, the gospel writer reminds us of the seriousness of our sin. And then the gospel writer speaks to us of the substitute for our sin. And the substitute for our sin was the Lord Jesus Christ, who took our place on the cross of Calvary. Hear these words from Mark. Someone ran, filled a sponge with wine vinegar, put it on a staff, and offered it to Jesus to drink. Now leave him alone. Let's see if Elijah comes to take him down, he said. With a loud cry, Jesus breathed his last. The curtain of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom, and when the centurion who stood there in front of Jesus saw how he died, he said, surely this man was the Son of God. At this point, as Jesus hung on the cross, he was given a drink of some wine vinegar. Someone nearby took a sponge, soaked it in wine vinegar, put it on the end of a stick, and hoisted it to Jesus to moisten his lips. The wine vinegar was a beverage indulged in typically by Roman soldiers. It was bitter in taste. And surely that also speaks to the bitterness of the sin for which the Lord Jesus Christ was giving his life as our substitute on the cross of Calvary. Earlier, we know from the gospel accounts that Jesus had refused the pain-deadening narcotic potion that was offered to victims of crucifixion. He would be in full possession of his faculties as he completed the will of God the Father dying in our place on the cross, and he would enter fully into his cup of suffering. He would take no shortcuts in terms of taking upon himself all of the pain and punishment that we deserve to take. And then Mark tells us that about 3 in the afternoon, with a loud voice, Jesus breathed his last. Luke's gospel tells us that at that time, when Jesus breathed his last, with a loud cry, he said, Father, into your hands I commit my spirit. It's a reminder that our Lord Jesus Christ was not murdered nor martyred. He willingly gave his life for us as our substitute, dying in our place on the cross, taking upon himself the punishment and the wrath of God that we deserve to take. He died in our place, and he was in full control. Mark further adds that in that moment in which our Lord Jesus breathed his last and cried out in victory, "Father, into your hands I commit my spirit," knowing that he had accomplished the will of God the Father by his perfect life and death on the cross, paying for our sins in full, Jesus surrendered his life to the Father, and at that very moment, the curtain in the temple was torn from top to bottom. Imagine what that would have been like that day. When garments are torn, there's a sound, quite a loud sound. The curtain in the temple was 20 meters high, 10 meters wide, and according to tradition, 10 centimeters thick. In that moment, when Jesus gave his life, breathed his last on the cross for us, the unseen hand of God tore that curtain from top to bottom. What a thunderous sound that would have made in the temple that day. Now, the temple in Jesus' day was a series of walls and barriers. If you're a Gentile, you could go this far into the temple, and then there was a wall. You couldn't go any further. You needed to be Jewish to go beyond that. And beyond that was the place where Jewish women could go. But then there was another wall, and only Jewish men could go beyond that. And then there was another wall. And only priests in the service of the Most High God could go beyond that. And then there was this curtain. This curtain separated the holy place where the priests went and the most holy place where only the high priest could go, and that only one day a year on the Day of Atonement. And the most holy place was where the presence of God was. So for the Jewish people in Jesus' day, the temple was a daily reminder that sin keeps people from God. But then our Lord Jesus Christ, on that Friday, the effects of which reach all the way into our present, when he gave his life as a once-for-all sacrifice on the cross, dying in our place, he fulfilled the will of God the Father and opened the way for all who would choose to trust in him by faith to be forgiven their sins and restored to relationship with God. And in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, we have full freedom to enter into the very presence of God. And that message was dramatically conveyed in that moment by the tearing of that curtain from top to bottom. In the end, the Roman centurion who was at the base of the cross, having observed what he did, seeing Jesus, hearing what Jesus said, he made a powerful statement. He said, "Surely this man was the Son of God." Friends, this day, is that your confession also?
Thank you for joining us for our Good Friday message. God demonstrated his love for us by sending Jesus into the world to be our once and for all sacrifice on the cross. As we celebrate Easter, we are reminded that our sin, our rebellion, took Jesus to the cross. Jesus died for our sake, to pay the price for our sin, a price we could not pay. What a demonstration of love as our Heavenly Father pursues us and makes a way for our debt to be paid. If you're experiencing challenges or hardships, would like prayer for anything going on in your life, or if you'd like to learn more about how you can experience the love of God and begin a relationship with Jesus, please email help@hhachurch.com. That's help, H-E-L-P, at H for Harvest, H for Hills, A for Alliance, Church, C-H-U-R-C-H.com. We'd love to talk with you and pray with you and help you experience the love that is available to us in and through Christ Jesus. Now these words from 1 Thessalonians 5, verses 23 and 24. "Now may the God of peace make you holy in every way, and may your whole spirit and soul and body be kept blameless until our Lord Jesus Christ comes again. God will make this happen, for he who calls you is faithful." May God bless you as you go into the remainder of your day to be the hands, feet, and voice of Jesus.